Hello, and welcome to the Spencer Institute Coaching Podcast with Michelle Adams and Mark Tehan. Today's topic is preparing for the first coaching session. Learn what to ask and what to look for. Let's go.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm here with Mark Tehan, and my name is Michelle Adams. Mark, thank you for taking the time. So let's dive in. This is a question that a lot of our students have through Spencer Institute. They are either currently going through their training, they're either finished with their training, and they have their certification, and now they're ready to get into the world of coaching. And most of them, I think the biggest fear for all, which is completely normal, how does a coach start a session with a new client? Could you give me some pointers of what they could do to just begin to establish a foundation with this new coaching relationship that they're creating?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's so many things to uncover with this. So I'll first say thanks for letting me speak to this, because this is really important. And I feel every coach goes through this initial sort of kind of questioning or anxiety when they're about to face their first client ever. But do keep in mind that each new client that you meet has the same potential to put the coach back in that space of like, hey, I'm meeting a brand new client again. Where do I start with? So it's like, it doesn't just happen once, but there's still that great first initial client where you built yourself up and you've gone through so much training and you've really questioned why you're doing it and you want to step forward. And you now have clients. You've gotten through all of the different steps to be ready for your first client. So the first thing that we try to do is talk about being prepared in a couple of different ways. One is certainly the administrative part of things, where you really have to kind of harness, as I say, the power of technology and get any sort of personal information from your client that you need to first before meeting them, because in that first session, you've got roughly maybe 55 minutes to an hour, and you've got a lot to accomplish in that first session. So getting started means knowing how to structure your first session and what you need to get from your client during that first meetup. And again, this is considering a time where you've got a session where you're either meeting in person and not virtually, but there are different factors that tie to what you would need for a space if you were meeting someone in a room or an office versus a virtual coach. So even the ambience or atmosphere that you coach in is something that has to be considered. So we've already talked about the training you'll get, the administrative part that you would need, and then just your location. So it's a lot for a coach to put together. It's completely understandable that they would want to know this basic question. And hopefully one goal that we have is to at least inform and educate and train the coach to at least have what they need already built into their foundation and not have to worry about that part of things, if that makes sense. So there are many things that then have to happen once that all comes together.
Really, in essence, even before meeting with your client, even for the first time, that there is, and I think we've discussed it before, but we really haven't gone into a lot of detail, and is really getting the client intake form completed.
Correct.
Right?
That's one very important one, as is the physician clearance. It's the equivalent of a physician clearance form or a Part Q for a fitness trainer. So it's a really important document.
You would say when you were coaching, you would potentially follow up with some additional questions, perhaps before the appointment time, I should say, before you actually schedule time. Right. Do you suggest some kind of follow-up once after the initial consultation has been completed and now they're going to meet with you, whether in person or virtually?
Yes, because that's also a really great question, because there are some detailed steps that come between working with a client and maybe sending forms and the need to follow up. For example, one benefit of meeting the client in person that you cannot get an electronic form or something you send by email or a questionnaire is the discussion that every client would have with the coach about how wellness coaching works and if it even fits into what they need. So it has to be a discussion about, let's discuss what it is and what you can get out of it first. And then we can determine if it's a good fit for each other. But there may be some things that question and answer process that show the coach that maybe this is someone who is not ready to make a change or has needs outside of what I can provide for them. So there would be some follow-up, but we also would follow up just by booking the appointment and continuing forward. That's kind of an informal way of following up once the administrative part is down. But to be clear, we want to talk about what we would do in an ideal situation, which is to have our client one-on-one and face-to-face, because that's when the best coaching can occur. So when we have that situation before us, that's when we can really take the next steps for what we should, what we can do and what we should do for our client, which is to build rapport and get to know them and start the actual coaching process.
Yeah, there was during some of my studies early on, there was a lot of, I think there was a lot of concern. Well, not concern, I shouldn't say concern, but there was a lot of anxiety. That's probably the better word. There was a lot of anxiety around making that initial, you know, connection in that first session. And right. I think a lot of us, obviously coaching for a reason, right? There is a purpose behind what we've all been going through and what we want to do. And we can become a little eager and maybe potentially start off a little bit too strong in the very beginning. So, and I know it's this slow process, obviously, to getting to know this other person and really making them feel comfortable. What tips do you have that you can share that what's worked for you when you are initially meeting your first client for the very first time? And what are some, like, just a couple of just things that you do to kind of make them at ease? And then what are kind of like the things that you do or say that you kind of start off this conversation to move it into more of an experience for them to get to whatever it is that they're meeting you for, whatever their challenges may be in their lives right now?
Well, I think that, again, it comes down to having the coach having confidence and realizing the real reasons and motivations for why they have decided to be a coach. And do they feel confident in their training? And then from there, the actual scenarios that I've had involve learning the actual skills of coaching, which have changed over time, because a lot of time people will come into coaching because they're naturally gifted at being persuasive or influential, or people have told them, hey, you should be a coach, or you should inspire others so much, you should be that type of person professionally. And while that's great, you still have to have some theory tied to behavior change and helping people move through changes that gives you that confidence to be able to know that you can help virtually anyone before you. So overcoming that fear is actually the first skill, which is, like I say, every new wellness coach has had that first consult, but every new wellness coach always knows what it's like to just say, well, hey, if you learn in the training, part of this concept of motivational interviewing is being able to roll with it and just being able to understand and convince yourself that whatever happens, it's going to be okay. You are still doing great work and there's nothing that will go wrong. It's not like it's going to be the end of the world if you ask the wrong question. So it really boils down to how confident you can be going into that session. But that's just the coach perspective. There's what you're also trying to get from the client, which is their buy-in and them to trust you and believe in you. And so you have to be confident in being yourself and not too arrogant, and being able to still be skilled enough to move the client through where you want to guide them, because the coaching process actually starts with that first meeting, and you lay the groundwork, and you have to be skilled in that. And so when you have the skills, if you've been trained, you don't have to worry about the confidence factor of maybe slipping up or not being able to just laugh through something with a new client, because you want your client to be able to understand and see you as a real person too. And so you asked like what it's been for me. I will give a little bit of myself and share maybe a small something that allows the client to relate to me better. And it could be a sport, it could be a hobby, it could be something we both tried to do, but just putting us both on an equal level is something that I really rely on.
No, I love what you just said. That is so important. And, you know, so many you and I have personally talked about,
right,
you know, different styles, you know.
Right.
And we talked about, for those that are a little bit more eager, like myself, I, you know, want to jump in and I can help you. You know, kind of energy, right? It's not necessarily always a good thing, because again, the intention there is to help that particular individual, and the enthusiasm is wonderful to have as a coach,
yeah,
because right, that really does keep everything live. You know, it keeps everything going. It can get, I guess the best way to say it is to, it can get out of control or go into a different place if you're trying to follow a rigid agenda, for instance,
right,
you know, with your client, right? Does that make sense?
Right. Or if you're not coaching properly and you're taking on all of your clients' problems instead of coaching them through their own. So it's like, there are so many different ways. And there's also the humility, I call it, of coaching, where, you know, if you're coaching as a wellness coach in a population of 1,500 employees and you are literally working with different goals and different people with different needs, you learn how to temper your approach for like a baseline for people to come at you and feel comfortable. And then I also, with that notion of every new coach realizing that they will have that first session and they will have to learn to get through it, the coach also learns through experience and time. You know, like they will reflect back and say, I remember when I used to be so nervous about approaching this person. Now it's, you know, think back on that, how funny that was. So there's implied growth that comes with coaching that I think coaches are comfortable knowing, and that also gives them a little bit of confidence enough to say, like, I may not be perfect right now, but with experience down the road, I will be where I need to be very comfortable. And that I feel happens quickly.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's really great advice. And I think that's really obviously very, very important. So I wanted to ask. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, though. You were speaking before and I cut off your thoughts mid-thought because I was being over-anxious, because I get that way about coaching. So I knew if I didn't say it, I'd forget it. I apologize for that. But
no,
you were talking about something and I interrupted you.
Oh, it's okay, because I already forgot. So
that's great.
That's what's being called in the now moment.
There you go. Or an ad lib that we forgot to lib.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
So yeah, so whatever it was, it is gone.
It's gone. But it was probably really good. That's okay.
Well, if it comes back, it comes back. But that's okay.
Will.
No.
It probably
will. Yeah, yeah. I think so. I think it's fine. So we also wanted to go into a little bit of what about their expectations? Is this, again, anything from the client with this first meeting? You're going to collect, right? You're going to collect kind of what is the most immediate challenge, perhaps, that they want to overcome? Or is this more talked about in the first session?
Well, one thing about coaching is, like, a client will come to you for one goal, and then through conversation, either sometimes the coach will realize it, or the client will then, it will dawn on them as well that there are other changes that are most likely going to need to happen before they get to the one that they're really there for. So an example would be a client who says, I need to lose weight, I need to learn how to eat better. But as a coach, we obviously need to know more than that, and what's causing it and what can be done to resolve it. And what if we find out that they're stress eating or something else, or they're We need to look at their nutrition and other aspects of it. So many times we have to lay the expectation that we just interview the client and get what they think is important and reflect that back and let them become the person who states what they want to work on. We can guide them and inform other things that are tied to it, but we have to make the expectation known about what our coaching will give them in the end. And I always ask, what do you want to get from the coaching? You know, what is it that you hope to achieve here? And then just trying to be honest and in the rapport building process, the client learns through good questioning and motivational interviewing and using appreciative inquiry to really get the client to open up about themselves and not brag, but kind of show their strengths, because you've already got someone before you that they don't know you, their guard might be up. They might be reluctant to be sharing personal information. We've got a lot to overcome. So if we kind of make a comfortable baseline and a comfortable space and show all the things that we're taught, like respect for others and being inclusive of all types and non-judgmental, and really focusing on what the client is trying to bring to us, then that's a different sort of training that, again, comes with both experience and having that confidence to make the client open up to us. That's our job as the coach to make them feel at ease. So that's how, that's a coach guided process.
There, you know, it's interesting because when you start to really break this down as far as the session goes, this initial, it's a lot. I mean,
it's a lot.
It's a lot of things that you have to think about, but I think it also has a very natural progression. I think it has like each step kind of moves into the other, right?
Yeah, so, I think so too.
Okay. So it's really, you know, trying not to overthink it. Because obviously, right, there's a lot of times that if we're overthinking things, again, we come in with this agenda and then we're not really actively listening to our client. I know that I am guilty of that. And that's just my personality that really that I have to work on. But, you know, being a coach, I mean, it is important to, again, not come in with that real strong agenda, but maybe some loose outline just to kind of keep the session, you know, the conversation, the relationship very natural, you know,
comfortable, right.
Yeah. Comfortable, natural, where it is, it's not intimidating. Cause I can't say, you know, there's been several times where I've met people on certain one-on-one sessions that I actually was the client, not the coach. But you know, there were times where it was a little bit intimidating because like you mentioned, you know, it's all about in the beginning, it's really building that trust.
Right.
To be very open, you know, to make the client, like you said, making them comfortable.
Yeah.
And really iterating, this is a safe space. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's really important in coaching is that they really understand that this is a safe space. There's no judgment. You know, they can be as comfortable as they want. They can share as much as they want, and it's all okay because that it's difficult. I mean, what do you?
I think it is difficult, and as you're talking, it reminds me about maybe it's because of the type of people that kind of gravitate toward coaching, like an empath, someone who's really empathetic. Just maybe isn't the type to excel in maybe the administrative part. I mean, they can get the training, and so I think it's just a different personality that determines really how we face that first meeting with the client. But yeah, you're right. It is like when that person is with you, now you're seeing all the things that have to come together. And then there's more on top of that. And you need to be able to get a client to commit to something that might be a little uncomfortable for them. And you have to get that client to eventually like you. And there's a whole set of skills that have to be learned to be able to be successful with each client because they are all so diverse. So having some universal skills like empathy, confidence, Just some of what we call those being skills in coaching that define the coach's presence. Those are things that have to be mastered by the coach to be able to make the client feel comfortable in session. I don't know if that answers your question exactly, but can you repeat it, or did you lose it?
No, I already lost it. Like I thought, okay. I was like,
because as you were talking, I wasn't really actively listening to a point. And that's, you know, again, something that we learn. So there are some skills that are just assumed that when you go into this, you're going to already have, like, you're going to be a curious type person. You're going to be helpful, empathetic. All the things that are already kind of built into that coach persona. And then it's that confidence, again, an experience of application, but it requires that we really see the client for the unique individual that they are. And that's something that has to be, learned as you deal with different people that come at us for a coaching experience. And the thing is, I don't know if you know this, Michelle, but up until just before the pandemic, only 25% of the general population had ever had a consult with a health or wellness coach, not considering personal training, even though the two are very similar. Like when we were talking about all that we do in that first meeting, it's a lot like what a trainer does in the first meeting too. So there are so many areas where there's overlap there, right? But just before the pandemic, only 25% of the population had ever met with a coach. And most of those meetings were done with a more like a worksite wellness contact, not like someone hiring or retaining a wellness coach. Post-pandemic or during that time, that's all changed. So a lot of what we're talking about is in a state of change. So there are, just by virtue of what we've been through, more virtual consults. That doesn't mean they have to all be virtual. They can be sometimes in person if it's logistically possible, but you can do it, virtually. But again, it's a state that's changing, not only for how we deliver it, but how we learn it and how we teach it and how we look at the best practices in coaching and learn from that. So it's kind of a mix of everything coming together that the coach really has to put a lot together in that first session. So it's very normal to question where that would go.
What we're talking about today is such a great example of a coaching session, right? Because we're doing this for the first time.
Right.
We're getting together for the first time. We're just kind of, getting to see, okay, where does this lead us? And I think in any session, obviously, that would happen because they're, again, you really can't exactly follow a precise agenda when it comes to relating with people.
Right.
No.
You're right. And we've also learned that Mark talks a whole lot. Sorry.
No. I love our conversations. I've been saying it for years, I love our conversations because there's so much too that you bring to light that I really wasn't looking at with that lens, with your perspective or from this other lens. And so it's just really refreshing. But again, we're talking about people. We're talking about relating to people. We're talking about, resonating with people and getting into this flow, because a lot of the times, and I hear this a lot, that in that confidence of the coach, not every client is going to be the right client for you.
No.
So you would need to be, there needs to be some discernment. There needs to be some kind of pre-vetting process, if that's what you want to call it. But not every client is going to be the right client for you, and vice versa, right? So
yeah. And if I can interrupt again, I'm sorry. I'm thinking back on the fitness equivalent of this, where, talking to trainers, I'd say, look, you all know that you have that client that you really don't like to train, but you do it, but they're awful. They're just like, they're uncooperative or they're moody or whatever. The same thing is true in coaching. You're going to have clients who are not the most pleasant. These are people who might, again, be facing something they don't want to deal with. They've been told they have to deal with it. So it's all not always optional and voluntary. You know, in an ideal world, it is. But so, you know, you have to face that. So I would say, you know, just we both agreed, this is a lot like a new coaching session, just even talking about this and going through our process. And I think it's great. I feel really comfortable. And like you say, you've always said all along, you're right, that you enjoy this conversation. And I've always said, like, I could talk about this stuff, many topics all the time. So for me, it's really a great opportunity to kind of put everything in my brain out there. But there are times when I'm trying to teach people about it, I've got so much I'm trying to remember. It just feels more forced than being able to just put things out there and have a conversation and see where that takes us in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I do. I do. Yeah. And again, there, and I, you know, I understand that whole part of you have this all in your head and you really want to share this, right? Because there's so much that you have. How many years of experience you've been?
I started wellness coaching in corporate settings in 2003. So okay, I've worked in so many different applications of it. I I've also taught the training. So it's been, you know, a lot of witness to change and predictions for where things will go. And it's been a great journey. So it's always just something that you always want to have more people exposed to and getting more into wellness and health. And seeing it being done properly.
Thanks for listening. For more information and to sign up for our newsletter, go to SpencerInstitute.com. Spencer Institute is a Nesta company.